Your Bibles this morning to the book of Matthew in chapter 7. The book of Matthew in chapter 7. Do you judge? Did you see the marquee this morning? Do you judge? Are you a judge? Are you a master? Some very thought-provoking thoughts, and especially as we read down through the first six verses of this chapter. And Jesus, of course, speaking here, section from chapter 5 through chapter 7, known as the Sermon on the Mount. He said in chapter 5 and verse 20, "Except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, ye shall in no case, no wise enter in to the kingdom of heaven." And then basically he sets out to reprove hypocrites. Our hypocritical thoughts and actions. Chapter 6, talking about hypocrisy. Hypocrisy in almsgiving, hypocrisy in praying, hypocrisy in fasting. Being a hypocrite and laying up treasures on earth instead of treasures in heaven. Thinking that we can serve the wealth of this world, the things of this world, and serve God at the same time. He said in verse 1, "Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull off the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you." The scribes and the Pharisees were hypocrites. they were unwashed. That is, in the heart. They'd never been cleansed inwardly. They did not have the blood applied. And they were guilty of exercising a false judgment about other people. And our Lord as well. Just think about what you know about the recordings of the Gospels. And how often they tried to catch the Lord and tried to reprove the Lord. Find fault with Him. And in so doing, judging others, they were guilty of a false judgment about themselves. And seeing they were guilty of that, they were guilty of a false righteousness. They thought themselves to be better than the people that they were judging, better than the people that they were condemning. And their false righteousness led to the condemning of others. Jesus, in the book of Luke, in chapter 18, in verse 9, he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. So two men went up in a mountain to pray. The one a Pharisee, the other a publican. And the Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. Thus with himself. God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as a publican. See, they were guilty of judging others, of their sins, of their shortcomings. They failed to see that they were guilty of the same thing. They, because of their pride and conceit, they in essence were deceiving themselves. Jesus, here in this passage of Scripture, gives His true disciples some principles to guide our conduct, behavior with others. First of all, we want to notice the caution. We're cautioned against judging. In verses 1 and 2. Judge. The word judge here simply means to try. To condemn even with a rendering of punishment. To avenge. So, the idea is the condemning of others yea, even in an effort to avenge. A good example would be of a husband and wife. And the wife points out the husband's flaw. And the husband's quick to jump to his defense and begins to name her flaws, her shortcomings. That's a good example. We do the same thing with other people. Many times. We don't like to have our faults pointed out, so we're going to turn it on them and give it back. He said, judge not. This is not talking about any kind of judgment or all judging. It's not talking about our civil courts and our government and the judgments which say make according to the nature of the case. Our Bible tells us they were given to us for that purpose, for that reason, for our good. It's not talking about our Lord's churches. In our Lord's churches, offenders not walking according to the prescribed manner, according to the teachings of God's Word, are to be dealt with. They're to be called into account. They're to be examined. They're to be tried and dealt with according to the rules of the Word of God. And so it's not talking about pastors who are the under-shepherd of the church. 2 Timothy, we're told by God, the ministers are told by God to, chapter 4 and verse 2, to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. We're to do that. That's the work of a pastor. That's the work of the under-shepherd. As God gives him the message and the insight into the people, the sheep with whom he's shepherding, lives, to correct them, to instruct them. And so we're told, as members, in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 7, he said, remember, be mindful of and feel for them which have the rule over you, who has spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith fell in that reproof, rebuke, and exhortation. They've spoken that word unto you. Whose faith fell, considering the end of their conversation. We're to take heed to it. We're to observe it. We're to be obedient to it. Why? Verse 17 of the same chapter. Obey them which have the rule over you and submit. You want to say that? That word submit there, it means to resist no longer. Don't resist them any longer, but yield to them. Do not resist them any longer. Yield yourselves. For they watch for your souls, as they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable for you. You see? So churches and pastors are called upon to inspect. Not in a condemnatory way. In fact, pastors have to take heed to themselves first. In the book of Acts, chapter 20, in verse 28, and speaking to pastors, he said, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves." Pastor has to do that first. He has to consider himself. He has to take heed unto himself. And I'll share with you in times past how often in preparation to preach the message the Lord has given me, how that it reproves, rebukes, and exhorts me first. And then again how I'm delivering it to you. You see, those are ordained of God. And ordained of God for our good. But what is he reproving here then? Oh, he's reproving the Pharisaical judging. That which the Pharisees and the scribes were guilty of. That which is a hypocritical, condemning, passing sentence on. Yeah, even in an effort of retaliation. It is that which is rash and condemning in a very severe manner, even passing sentence on them. So now look at, that's the caution, look at the prohibition. And this is under the caution. He said, judge not. Well, maybe this should be covered in a later point. We'll probably cover it again in a later point. But yes, we must judge ourselves. We must judge ourselves, our own actions, our own thoughts. We must not condemn our brother for what they do, as though we don't ever do that. Turn with me to the book of James. Book of James in chapter 3. Verse 1. My brethren, be not many masters. Well, one master. Well, I have one master. If we're the Lord's, he's our master. knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. That is, the master, the teacher, receives the greater condemnation, and more is expected of him. The heavier judgment is placed on him. We talked about pastors, and there's a heavier judgment placed upon me. I got to give an account, not for only for myself, but I got to give account for you all. When we judge in a pharisaical manner, we're setting ourselves up as a master. Chapter 4 of James, and I'll let my finger slip out of there. James, chapter 4. Chapter 4 and verse 11. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother, same word, speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. I asked, do you judge? I asked, are you a judge? Has God set you in that position? You see, in speaking evil, in judging, we're speaking evil. We're not speaking good of our brother. We must not set ourselves up as sitting in the judgment seat as their master. Turn with me to the book of Romans. The book of Romans in chapter 14. Verse 1, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. For one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak, eat herbs. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not. And let not him which eateth not judge him that eateth. For God has received him. God has received you both. Look at the next verse. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand. Who are we to judge another man's servant? He's not ours to judge. We're not his master and lord. Look at verse 10. But why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. All we that are saved. The one considered to be the stronger brother and one considered to be the weaker brother. We're all going to stand before the Lord. He's our master. He's our judge. He, in our text, gives us here a pretty good reason why we ought to be very careful about this matter and to never judge in a condemnatory way. This reason actually gives strength to this. That's the rest of verse 1. That ye be not judged. That you be not condemned. That you be not condemned falsely. If we take it upon ourselves with no authority, we can expect the same. Can't we? What did he say to Ishmael? Remember what he said to Ishmael? Concerning Ishmael? Turn with me to the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis is in chapter 16. In verse 12. And he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man. Period, right? No. He's going to be that way. He's going to be a wild man. His hand's going to be against every man. But look what's going to come back on him. And every man's hand against him. And he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren. Wow, sounds like reciprocation to me. We shall receive the greater condemnation. James 3:1. Just read it. We both must appear before the Lord. If you're truly a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the one you're condemning, you're both going to stand before the Lord. Romans 14:10. We shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And His judgment is true and just and righteous. You see, in other words, it's in truth. He had no sin. In Him was no sin. He was the perfect Lamb of God. We're not. Verse 2 says it's the law of reciprocation. For with what judgment ye judge, you shall be judged. And with what measure ye mete it out, it shall be measured out to you again. Yeah, but he did do that. He is guilty of that. And what are you guilty of? Yeah. Jesus told those Pharisees that brought that woman to him caught in adultery, "He that is without sin, let him cast the first stone." And there's been many surmisings as to what he stooped down and wrote in the sand. A lot of people think, well, he wrote down and started writing down their sins. The Bible doesn't tell us. The fact is, he stooped down, he's looking down at the ground. When he looked up, they were all gone. "Woman, where's thine accusers?" The same measure by which we dish it out is the same measure we'll get back. And rightfully so, right? Turn with me to the book of Galatians. Book of Galatians, chapter 6. And verse 7. And this is talking about helping a brother that's overtaken in a fault. He has a fault, and you see a brother that has that, but you're supposed to consider yourself. "Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one." But before you consider going to him, you need to consider yourself, he said. And we'll have more to say about that when we go down a few more verses. But in verse 7 he says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall the Spirit reap life everlasting." You sow in condemnation of your brother and his shortcomings and his failures, of which you are guilty the same, you're going to reap the same back. But you sow in love and compassion and mercy, you're going to reap that back. Now, which do you want to have returned to you? Love and compassion and mercy? Then we need to be loving, don't we? And love will cause us to be compassionate and merciful to our brethren. Turn with me to the book of James again. The book of James in chapter 2. James chapter 2 and verse 13. "For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment." You see, you don't show mercy to others, you're not going to have mercy showed back to you. This thought of the law of reciprocation and this thought of having it returned to us with the same meat and the same measurement that we measure out to others, it ought to prevent our dealing too harshly with one another. Look at what Job said in the book of Job. In chapter 31, Job chapter 31 and verse 14, "What then shall I do when God riseth up? And when he visiteth, what shall I answer him? What shall I do when God riseth up? When he visits, what shall I answer him? You see, what if God should be as severe in his judgment of us as we are in our judgment of others? What if God should deal as harshly with us as we deal with others? That's thought-provoking, isn't it? Second point. The false judge lacks self-esteem. Self-examination. The false judge lacks self-examination. Verse 3, and why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Wow. He criticizes someone who has a small problem, right? He has a small sin. He has, realizing and recognizing that all sin is sin. But sometimes theirs is small compared to ours. Ours is much bigger and larger. That's the example given here. This. Why beholdest thou the mote? Beholdest. It carries the idea of continuing to look, to discern. Why are you looking at your brother and discerning him? He's just got a splinter. He's just got a piece of sawdust in his eye. Why, you can't even see. You've got a beam in your eye. And it's blinding you. That's the illustration given. This one, he's constantly looking at, discerning the failures, the shortcomings of others, gossiping and criticizing. Let's stop right there. We're all guilty of that. We're all guilty of it. This verse tells us he's blind. He's blind to his own failures and shortcomings. He's got a beam there. How can you see when you got a beam? He's blind. He's blind to see. Now, he has any problems, any sin that needs to be taken care of, that should have been taken care of years ago. He has a beam in his eye. Book of Proverbs, chapter 12. Verse 15 tells us, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. But he that hearkeneth unto counsel is what? Instruction. Not condemnatory, but instructions. Proverbs 21 and verse 2 says, every way of a man is right in his own eye. But the Lord pondereth the heart. The Lord knows your heart, and He knows the heart of the one that you're condemning, the one that you're judging. Well,